Amen. Now we'll turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and read verses here at the end of that chapter. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 35. If you'll look there with me today. Praise God. Mark chapter 4 verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. It was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. Mark chapter 4, if you read the entirety of the chapter, you see that this is Jesus teaching principles of the kingdom of God. They actually go all the way back to verse 1. You see the parable of the sower. You see several different parables, including the parable of the mustard seed, and several parables. Jesus is teaching and speaking to a great crowd of people who have gathered on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. So much was the crowd, so great was the crowd, that he had to enter into one of the ships of the disciples. Half of the disciples were fishermen, and he entered into their fishing boats, and they were about the size of 12 to 15 people could be on one of those boats comfortably. And so Jesus enters into that boat, and he teaches them from the boat and gives to them these wonderful and principles of the kingdom of God. And then it says that he, when you read back a couple of verses before what I read there, it says in verse 33, and with many such perils spake he unto them as they were able to hear it, but without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And so he taught the big crowd, and then he took time with his inner circle, the disciples, and he expounded. It just means that he answered their questions. He explained it a little greater in detail. You see, the people that are willing to stay as close as they can be to the Lord, they're positioned to hear greater truths, to learn greater truths. And that was certainly true of these disciples. The crowd came because Jesus spoke like no other. He spoke like none of the other religious leaders did. He spoke, their comments were, he spoke with power. In another place, he speaks as one who has authority, speaks with authority. So his words had power and impact upon the hearts of his listeners. And their faith was increased by the things that he was teaching them. One of the things that he taught them was about the little mustard seed that was so tiny. And then he pointed to the sycamore tree and said, see this tree, which was a tree that would grow very quickly and very big and would produce fruit very quickly. It's a great and a large tree. And he said, this is where that tree has come from. This tiny little seed has produced this great big tree. And so he was teaching his disciples the importance of faith and how that our faith can grow and increase as we learn more about the faithfulness of God and the promises of the Lord. And so the disciples have loaned Jesus their ship. They're taking him out. And it says, along with other ships. Apparently, their boat wouldn't hold all the disciples that were wanting to travel across the Sea of Galilee. And so there's kind of a group of boats that are traveling across. Jesus said, now let's go across to the other side. Let us pass over unto the other side. That was the word of the Lord speaking to them. Now, there's going to come a test in this situation. There's going to come a storm in this situation that they are in. You know, I think we all recognize that after we have been taught that many times the very things that we have learned from God's word, God allows us to go through the test of that. He puts it to the test in our life. You've read it, you've heard it taught, you've heard it preached, you've heard the word of the Lord. Now, here's a test to see how well you really got it in your heart and in your spirit. That's exactly what's going on here with these disciples. I remember when I was in Bible school, many of our instructors, they would lecture on a particular day, and the next morning when we would come back to class, the very first thing that they would do is they would say, okay, today there's going to be a pop quiz at the beginning of this class. There's three questions, and if you miss one, you've just about failed the quiz. I mean, you can't mess up if there's three questions in a pop quiz. Some of those teachers would say, as much as 50% of your grade comes from these pop quizzes. And the purpose of it was to motivate you to pay attention in the class. Pay attention. Because there might be a test. And it might be sooner than you think. There might be a pop quiz that's going to come to see if you were listening, if you were paying attention. Now, we've had the privilege, most of us here, we've heard the Word of God. We own God's Word. We have many copies of the Bible. We have the privilege of reading it, studying it, hearing it being taught and preached all the time. But there are times when the Lord allows us to be faced with a test. Actually, can you put what you know to practice? Can you put it into practical living? And will it pass the test? Can you pass the test of what you are experiencing? Jesus commanded them to pass over to the other side. You see, folks, today I am almost 65 years old. I'm 64 years old. And according to the CDC, I'm elderly. That feels awful. I don't think so. When I saw Mabel come in today, I just thought, praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it is unprecedented what's going on right now this week in our world. I've never, ever known or seen anything quite like what we are faced with today. To say that it is not spiritually significant is ridiculous. You have to be a blind person spiritually to not see the spiritual significance of what's going on in our world. I understand that it's a virus. I understand that it spreads 10 times faster than the flu. You know, I've learned a few things about it. I understand that it has to be carried by a person, a physical person, but it can actually live outside of a physical body for a while, maybe even for days. And I also know that it's a worldwide thing. It's unprecedented. It's powerful, and the whole world is affected by it. Don't tell me that it doesn't have a spiritual significance to it.
It does. It does. This is an opportunity for the world to realize their need for God. This is a time God, I believe, is giving the world a wake-up call.
He's given the world a wake-up call, a time to recognize who God is, a time to recognize, and for it's a time for Christians all over the world to cry out to God, to call upon the name of the Lord.
As I mentioned earlier, that it's a very uncommon thing. President Lincoln called for a National Day of Prayer at a crisis point in the Civil War. There have been a few presidents that have done that, but not many. I think this is only the third or fourth time that it's happened in the history of our country that a president has called for a national day to prayer of prayer. Does it make a difference? Can it make a difference? I'm telling you, it can make the difference. It can make the difference. I was thinking about Jonah, who was that reluctant evangelist that did not want to go to Nineveh. He hated the Ninevites. They were the Assyrians who were ruthless and brutal killers. And he hated them for that. And I don't know, maybe he had personally, somewhere and even in his own family or some connected to his nation or his tribe, maybe he had been directly affected by that. But I know that when you read the book of Jonah, there's a prejudice and a hatred toward them. Even to the point that when God said to him, go to Nineveh and preach and warn them, that Jonah said, no, I'm not going. And he went the exact opposite way. He went completely opposite of the way that God was calling him to go. Of course, the story is all familiar to us, that God was able to get his attention. Interesting enough, he got his attention in a storm, and he had a prayer meeting in the belly of that fish. Amen. And he got it prayed through in the belly of the fish. And when he was vomited out upon dry land, then he set out in the right direction to go to Nineveh, even though that he was prejudiced against them, even though he believed they deserved judgment, yet he went to Nineveh, the Bible says. That city that was godless and wicked and pagan. But yet God was giving a mercy call to Nineveh and was giving to them another opportunity to repent. The Bible says that Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. It's Jonah 3:3. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was his sermon. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And he walked the distance across that city, declaring that short little 7 or 8 word sermon that he was giving to them. And his heart was, he wanted them to face judgment. He didn't love them. He hated them. But he was just obeying what God told him to do and to give them the warning that had come from the Lord. And here's what's interesting. It says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Something changed. Something changed in their hearts. Something turned in their hearts. That's what we have to pray for, folks. That in the middle of all this, that somehow the hardness of heart of people in our country, the antichrist spirit that's so prevalent even in our nation today, that hates God and hates Jesus and hates the word of God, that somehow, that through all of what is happening in our world today, that they would recognize their need for Jesus, their need for God. That's what happened in Nineveh. All the people believed God, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came into the king of Nineveh. Here it is, an authority like the president. The king says to the people, arise. He arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him and covered him in sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast. Now this is like a shock to the system of the city. What? No one can eat. No one can drink. You can't even take care of your animals. You can't do anything. And so the whole city is put into this shock of this command of the king. Amen. His response or his call to them was that who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now I don't know enough about what's going on to say that I know that this is the judgment of God upon our nation. I don't really know for sure all the of the mind of God and what's going on, but I do believe it's at the very least it is a wake up call to our nation. And a wake-up call to the nations of the earth to look to God, to look to the Lord, and to cry out to the Lord. The Bible says in our text that there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, the Sea of Galilee It's really a lake. It's a freshwater lake, and it is surrounded by mountain ranges, and it kind of sits down in a bowl, really, as far as this giant lake, very, very deep, and it sits down into a bowl. So when the wind blows, many times, in this case, it was true that the wind is the Greek word here. That is used to describe this wind is a lilap. The storm was a lilap in the Sea of Galilee, which was something that happened there from time to time, and it was a storm of sorts that came from above. It was like a whirlwind that instead of blowing like a straight wind, it came down from above and came down into that. To that lake, into that sea of Galilee, and it was like a whirlwind. It's like it would fall upon them, and they were just sailing along peacefully, and suddenly it fell on them, and before they could make any real preparation for it, it just happened. The circumstance just happened. Amen. I think that... We can really make some good parallels of what's happening in our world today. A sudden storm that has fallen upon us. A sudden situation and a circumstance that is out of our control. We're all affected by it like those disciples were. Now those disciples were experienced fishermen, experienced with their boats, their sails. They knew how to maneuver the sea. They did it every day of their life. They knew how to take care of things in that boat under normal circumstances. This wasn't normal. This wasn't normal. This lilap, this whirlwind of a storm that literally fell almost like out of heaven upon them, fell on them suddenly, and they're out of control. And they thought, this is it. We're going to perish. Their boat was almost immediately filled up with water. And Jesus is asleep in the boat. And it says that he is asleep on a pillow. Now, you know, if you just kind of nod off in a nap, I've done it sitting in my chair, and my wife will say, why don't you just go to bed? Just lean over and get a crick in my neck. Just go to sleep. But let me tell you, if you lay down on a pillow, you've laid down on purpose. You fluffed that thing up, and you have went, and you have
You didn't fall asleep. You have intentionally taken a nap. Now, Jesus has taught all day long. He's physically drained. He's physically exhausted. And he is resting from all that he's been involved in. Jesus is asleep. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus is asleep in the middle of our storm. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean, as far as the type of what we're looking at here, that Jesus is asleep and he isn't concerned. But it does mean that those disciples who normally could take care of any circumstance, they had to wake up to the fact that they had to wake up Jesus. They had to realize we've got to go to him. We have to call upon Jesus in this situation. And so that's what they did. I mean, these guys were professional fishermen. They were professional at taking care of the boat. But what had to be awakened in them was their need to wake up Jesus and to call upon the Lord in their circumstance. And I believe that we have a secular society today that they don't believe in God. Many say they don't believe in God. They certainly don't depend on God or trust God or pray to the Lord. But I'm telling you, things can get serious enough very quickly that people can begin to realize, well, maybe we do need to wake up that thing that's in our past. Maybe they had some experiences with God or the church, or maybe they knew the Lord when they were young. And all that needs to be awakened once again, because they don't recognize their need for the Lord. But today they are recognizing that they need God to come and to help them. Martin Luther said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's laying hold of his willingness. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's laying hold of God's willingness. That Jesus then rose up from that rest. And he said, before he spoke to them, he spoke to the sea. Now that's the most comforting thing to me as I go into this crisis time in our world, is my absolute resolute confidence in God. I believe in the promise of God. I believe that what God has said is the truth. And I believe he's sovereign over all things. He is in control of all things. And that gives me peace. That gives me assurance, because I know that God is not surprised by this. If there's anything that we can see, that Jesus was asleep in the storm means to me that Jesus was not, you know, he wasn't affected by the storm. He's not concerned. He's able to handle any situation, no matter what the circumstance might be. He took authority over that storm. And the world, if the church will pray, if the church will be the church, in our country and across the world, if we'll be what God has called us to be, if we'll turn to the Lord with our whole heart, then the world will witness the hand of God. The world will witness the hand of the Lord. During this time, it may be that God will give to you opportunities. If anyone talks to you, if you know of anyone that is going through a time of fear, worry, whatever, that you can go to that person and you can comfort them with the scriptures and you can pray with them and assure them, God's got this. He's in control. We are not going to allow fear to overwhelm us, overtake us, but we put our confidence in the Lord. Praise God. Amen. And the world needs to see that. The world needs to see the church turning to the Lord with peace and assurance that God is in control. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Most people believe, or at least will kind of acknowledge, that God is sovereign, but we need to put this into action.
We need to put this into action, that we believe it and we practice it. We know that God is ultimately in control of this situation. Praise God. You have to remember that he had spoken to the disciples at the beginning of this text, and he said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." That's what he said. He said, "Let us pass over to the other side." And going to the other side, he let them know from the very beginning, we're going to start off. And he knew there was going to be a storm. He knew their lives were going to be in jeopardy. But he said, we are going, all of us, all going to the other side. Amen. Praise God. Be encouraged today, because I believe that we can come through this, and the church can be stronger. For people to say, well, I just hope things will get back to normal. No, no, no. Normal is what's got us into this mess. Normal is what's got us to the place we are in our nation. What the world says is normal is everything just going along as it is and nobody recognizing God for who he is. So we don't want things to be normal as far as the way the world measures normal. We pray that God, through the midst of this storm, you will work in us. You'll show your power, your sovereignty. You'll get us to the other side, because there's greater things that you want to do. Amen. Now, Jesus was resting on his way to the other side, and it wasn't going to be, he wasn't going to a vacation or a few days of rest, but he knows that when he gets to the other side, that he's going to face a man that's full of demons. He's going to face a demoniac there on the other side, and that's where he's headed. And so they were passing through the storm so that they can be prepared and ready to face even greater challenges that were just ahead for them. So what we are asking the Lord for, Lord, give to us in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a new normal. A new normal, not the old normal, but a new normal, whereby we are trusting God and we are putting our confidence in the Lord. And we're not just going along at ease, but Lord, that we recognize you're the one that's keeping us safe. You're the one that's giving us peace. And we do not have it outside of our confidence in God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. We're going to the other side. I don't know exactly what's on the other side, except I know that there are more challenges ahead for us. I know that there are things in these last days that we will face, challenges and struggles and battles that we may face, and even demonic forces that we may face just ahead. And God is working in us. He wants what he has put in our hearts to be put to practice, to test our faith, so that we'll come out on the other side, so that we'll have a newfound faith and confidence in God, so we can face the challenges of these last days. Amen. Safety in the middle of all of this storm. Amen. Amen. What an opportunity for evangelism. What an opportunity to talk to people about Jesus, to talk to people about their need for God, and all the scrambling and the fear and the worry and all that's going on in our world today. Lord, awaken people to their need for you. In whatever ways that you choose to do that, Lord, awaken people to their need for you, so that they'll turn to you and cry out to you, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? Of course he cares. He wants you to lean on him. He wants you to trust in him. He can calm the storm around us, and he can calm the storm inside of us. The worry and the fear and all the things that can get a hold of our hearts and our lives, and we can put our trust and our confidence in the Lord today. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. God has divine purpose in all things that he's doing. You remember some years ago, whatever it was, maybe 10, 12 years ago, when the tsunami hit over in Asia, thousands, actually hundreds of thousands of people were affected. Many, many, many people died. And at the same time, there's this vacuum, this opening. And suddenly missionaries run in to that area. And some areas that would not hear the gospel and refused to even allow the gospel to be preached. Now, there are open doors. They've opened the doors for humanitarian aid to come in. And along with that was gospel preaching and the packet or copies of the Word of God that are going into those areas. God used even the most horrible tragedy to open a door for the gospel to go into places that were closed. So there's no door that God can't open. And there's no circumstance that God cannot work in. And to even suggest that what is happening today does not have spiritual implications is ridiculous. And we need to understand what is going on right now is spiritual opportunity for us. Spiritual opportunity. But for all of us, especially some who may really feel overcome with fear and worry, you're safe. You're safe in the middle of all the storm. You're safe. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. You're safe. God's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us. I don't know. Things might get a little rougher than they are. I don't know what to predict, but I just know that I can trust a sovereign God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the promise of God, Lord, in the midst of every situation. And I pray, Lord, for everyone that's in this building today, Lord, that may be struggling a little bit, worried and full of fear. I pray, Lord, that the peace of God, just like you stood up and spoke that day, peace to that storm. You took authority over nature and creation. You created it all, and you were able to control it all. Thank you, Lord. I know you can speak peace into our hearts, into our lives right now. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you care about your people. Glory be to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen.